And away we go on episode 10 of the Four Verticals podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. A little shorter episode this week as we talk about the Big 12 and make our weekly picks. We'll make our picks in the second segment. Five Big 12 games this week, five nationally games this week, as we're pretty much done with non-conference play for the most part. So we'll get into that into the second part of the episode. But right now, and maybe we'll get a little bit into national stuff here too, but I want to mostly talk about the Big 12 here and what the hell is going on after a wild week four in the Big 12. And the overwhelming question is, who is the best team in this conference? I'm still going to say Oklahoma, and I should back up by saying, if you didn't see, the Oklahoma Sooners survive against Army 28-21 in overtime after a just bizarre game that no one got to watch because it was on pay-per-view. And I think I read somewhere Oklahoma apparently has a pay-per-view game every year. And I've probably just never known because usually they just blow out their opponent and there's no storyline here. That was not the case on Saturday. Army ran 87 plays to Oklahoma's 40. Army had time of possession of 44 minutes and 41 seconds to Oklahoma's 15 minutes and 19 seconds. Army had 379 total yards, 339 rushing on 78 rush attempts, getting over 4 yards a carry. Oklahoma, 355 yards, 165 through the air, 190 on the ground. And the question I have for Oklahoma, because I'm pretty comfortable with what their offense is. Kyler Murray, another huge day. 11 of 15, 165, 3 touchdowns. 7 carries, 71 yards, and another touchdown. The yardage is a little down, but again, it's the time of possession. They only had the ball for 15 minutes. My concern with Oklahoma, and I still think it's improved overall, but defensively, do we trust and should we trust Mike Stoops in this Oklahoma defense? It's been several years since Oklahoma's been good defensively. And Kenneth Murray had a huge day defensively for Oklahoma. 28 tackles. 28 tackles. Bolton, one of the other players for OU, one of the other linebackers, 23 tackles. This defense was on the field all day long yesterday, but they couldn't stop the run. And for those of you who don't know, Army is one of the few teams who still runs the triple option. Obviously, Navy does it. Georgia Tech does it, a couple others. I think Air Force still does it, a little flex bone. But I don't think that's just a blip in the radar that, oh, it's funky scheme, triple option. Oklahoma's going to give up some plays. And I just wonder, you know, they got the Red River rivalry in a couple weeks. Texas, a team that's playing better. If Texas defense shows up and challenges OU's offense a little bit, you know, is Oklahoma going to be able to win a game with its defense this year? I don't know. West Virginia and Will Grier on the road at the end of the year. It's going to be a tough game. Big 12, by the way, I think more than ever, 1 through 8, and even throw Baylor in there. Baylor's not terrible. This is a talented conference. There is a lot of parity in this league. That being said, I stand by what I said before the season. I don't see a playoff team right now. West Virginia has certainly been dominant, but they haven't really been tested yet. They rolled 35-6 over Kansas State. I think K-State's got major issues. Bill Snyder's going back to Alex Delton. They've kind of tinkered with this quarterback situation, Skylar Thompson and Delton. I thought both these guys were really good options coming into the year, but they have not progressed as players and as passers. They're going back to Delton, I guess, just as the running threat. I mean, Thompson's not getting it done through the air consistently enough. Delton at least gives you that more dynamic running ability. But Will Grier, 356, 5 touchdowns on Saturday against West Virginia. Against Kansas State, he's lighting it up. Sims, this receiver, getting in the mix with Sills and Jennings. How about this? 5 for 136 and a touchdown. David Sills, the fifth. 3 more touchdowns in the day. 73 yards receiving. Gary Jennings, only 31 yards. They just have so many weapons on offense. I wonder, West Virginia and Oklahoma, to me, they're separating themselves from the rest of the pack or Big 12. And I think you can ignore the Army result a little bit for OU. It seems like every team has a weird game like that every year. And if you're an OU fan, you just hope this happens to be it. But I just think, what's the common denominator with West Virginia and Oklahoma? Dynamic quarterbacks. Those are the teams that win this league historically in the Big 12. It's been Baker Mayfield the last couple of years. When Texas was good, it was Vince Young and Colt McCoy. When TCU and Baylor split the Big 12 that one year, Trevon Boykin, Bryce Petty, Robert Griffin, he didn't win a Big 12 title, but he competed for one at Baylor. K-State, when they won it, Colin Klein, Heisman finalist. The teams that win this conference have the best quarterback play. You look at some of the other contenders. Texas just started off 1-0. I was in Austin for that TCU-Texas game, and you know, if you want to tweet me and call me a homer because I did go to TCU, at Harrison1033, feel free. I've heard it enough from my Texas buddies all week, but if you want to get at me, go ahead. Texas is not a more talented team than TCU. I'm just telling you right now. For the second week in a row, TCU completely crapped on themselves. Try to keep this thing PG here on the Four Verticals podcast, but Sean Robinson threw two interceptions right to Texas and fumbled on a big scramble to get into Texas territory. Let me tell you what happened in this game. And really what I'm seeing with Texas overall now, and Texas deserves credit. They're playing mistake-free football, and that's how they need to approach this to win the turnover battle. I think ever since the Maryland game, Tom Herman pulled Sam Ellinger aside and said, "We're not doing this again this year. You're not good enough to try and be the hero week in and week out. So you know what we're going to do? Don't turn the ball over, and we're going to try and win by controlling the clock and with our defense." And that's what they did on Saturday. TCU had a 13-10 lead early in the second half and had started to get momentum after a late touchdown in the first half to take a halftime lead after a bit of a choppy first half. 13-10 at the half. TCU gets a three and out, sack Sam Ellinger, get the ball back, get a huge chunk play with Kevontae Turpin to get into Texas territory. Sean Robinson has Jalen Reagor wide open on a wheel route for a touchdown that would have given TCU a 20-10 lead early in the third quarter. Instead of lofting the ball, he throws a bullet right to the safety who was sitting in the zone underneath. If he lobs the ball just a little bit, not even like a ton, like I'm not talking a rainbow, just a nice little touch pass up the sideline, it's a walk-in touchdown. TCU's up 20-10, has scored 14 unanswered points to take all of momentum out of Austin. Texas's crowd was getting out of it at that point. You could feel it like, oh, here we go again. But that changed the game. Texas got the pick there. They didn't even go down and score. In fact, TCU got the ball back, got another field goal, took a 16-10 lead, and then even got the ball back again. But it was just a momentum deal and a confidence thing. Because if Robinson throws a touchdown there, it's the second of the day. It's a confidence builder for a young quarterback against a young defense. You've got a 2-score lead. You're feeling pretty good about yourself at that point. All of a sudden, you throw a bad interception, that changes things. That gets on you mentally. Texas defense, you know, they get a little swagger going. They get a little confidence. Then what happens when it's 16-10? Robinson scrambles, gets about 25 yards. Instead of tucking the ball away and getting down, what happens? Texas punches it out, gets the ball back, goes down, throws a post pattern to Colin Johnson, and all of a sudden, Texas has the lead. So now if you're TCU, you're like, oh, man. We just did this last week. In control of the game. We got the ball. We're moving it. Then we turn it over. So what happens on the next drive? First play, Sean Robinson, pick over the middle right to the linebacker. They run it back inside the 5-yard line, score on the next play. 24-16 Texas before you can even blink. Three just catastrophic plays by your young quarterback and Sean Robinson in the third quarter. And look, I'm not ripping Robinson. He's going to be a great quarterback. I'm still encouraged by what I've seen. He's just had huge mistakes at inopportune times the last couple of weeks. And that's part of taking your lumps as a young quarterback. I get that. But, man, just throwing the ball right to Texas and not letting them beat you, just beating yourself. Did the same thing against Ohio State. You can't beat yourself against good teams. Especially against Ohio State, but even Texas. Texas is at least good enough now. If they win the turnover battle 4-0, they're going to win. But let's pump the brakes a little bit on Texas. I want to see a little bit more. They're at home. They win the turnover battle 4-0, and it's still an 8-point game with 4 minutes to go. TCU's beating itself right now. Texas deserves credit, but they got to go into Manhattan. They got to win this weekend. You lose to a bad Kansas State team, all the momentum you've gotten after beating USC and TCU, it's all gone. Means nothing. You got to win, and you got to get more momentum going into the Red River rivalry against OU the week after that. So Texas, I'm not quite ready to make them a title contender in the Big 12. You slide down. Oklahoma State, looking great through 3 weeks, right? Texas Tech coming to town. You get them at home. They're not playing any defense. Bam! Texas Tech goes into Stillwater, smokes Oklahoma State 41-17. Who saw this coming? Alan Bowman for Texas Tech? I was wrong, man. I wasn't impressed in the opener when he played against Ole Miss. He is tearing people up. 35 of 46, 397 yards, couple of TDs at Oklahoma State, who was leading the nation in sacks, by the way. Felton, the new running back that they're working in Lubbock, 14 carries, 130 yards, a couple of touchdowns. They're spreading the ball around out there in Lubbock. Holding Oak State to 17 at home. Taylor Cornelius, just 18 of 38, 258 and a touch and an interception. Justice Hill did have 111 yards and 12 carries. Not sure why he didn't get the ball more. But nonetheless, that's an impressive win for Cliff Kingsbury and a big one for a coach who's desperately trying to remain the head coach. I mean, he's on the hot seat. There's no doubt about it. How do you get off it? You go beat a top 15 team on the road like this. That'll go a long way. I'm impressed by what I've seen from Texas Tech the past couple of weeks. You score big. Big win against Houston last week. Go into Stillwater, get a win this week. How about this upcoming week? West Virginia at home in your house, 11 a.m. kick. You want to talk about opportunity. You win that game for your Texas Tech. All of a sudden, not only is Cliff Kingsbury off the hot seat, Texas Tech might be a factor in the Big 12. And I'm not I don't think they're going to win the Big 12 by any means or necessarily even challenge for it. But the idea that they're not going to be a factor in this race, not the case. The way Bowman's playing right now, the defense is starting to settle in a little bit. I'll be real curious to see what they bring against West Virginia here on Saturday. So you got Texas Tech up, Oklahoma State down. Where else in the Big 12? Let's talk more about TCU. When you start 0-1, your chances of getting back into the Big 12 race, it's going to be a tough task. And, you know, I just think that this is probably, based on talent, a 10-win team, but it'll probably only win 8 games just because you got to let Sean Robinson take his lumps. You know, I don't think it's the right message to make a change, potentially. I know some people have wondered if maybe play a guy like Michael Collins, maybe a steadier quarterback, but he's not the future. Robinson's the present and the future. Let this guy take his lumps. You got Iowa State at home this week. Pretty good defensive team, but a team you should beat. Get some confidence going. Then you get a week off before Texas Tech on a Thursday night. If you can come back, beat Iowa State, get a little breathing room, and then beat a improved Texas Tech team at home on Thursday night, then all of a sudden you get OU at home 10 days later, and you let it rip. This season's not over for TCU. If you're a TCU fan and you're playoff or bust, look, you got a sophomore quarterback who's made 5 career starts. It probably wasn't going to happen this year. But hey, both games you've lost by your own doing. TCU has not lost to superior opponents in Texas and Ohio State. I'm dead serious about that. You don't believe me? Go watch the Ohio State game and tell me TCU wasn't the better team for 40 minutes. You convince me of that, I'll shut up. But I'm not convinced of that. I watched that game in person. I watched it again on TV. I've done the same with the Texas game. I was there in person to watch it on TV. It's self-inflicted right now. That's part of being a young team and being young in a lot of areas. Offensive line young, quarterbacks young, skill players are young. Some of the defense is young. Defense is playing good, but they're not forcing turnovers. Gary Patterson teams force turnovers. I bet by the end of the year, TCU's playing its best ball. So we just got to be patient with this group. Other results in the Big 12, Baylor took care of Kansas 26-7. You know, I think for Baylor, the goal is can you find a way to get to 6? Can you get to 6 wins? Play Oklahoma this week, so it's probably not going to happen this week, but all of a sudden Oklahoma State looks vulnerable. We'll see about Texas Tech. You know, you get TCU at home. It's possible. It's possible. The way I look at this thing now, I still think the Big 12 goes through Norman, and I think West Virginia has clearly established itself as the biggest contender to take down Oklahoma. And that's real interesting because the Sooners and Mountaineers play in Morgantown the final week of the season, and they could play the very following week in Jerry World for the Big 12 title game. I could easily see a result where West Virginia wins at home, beats Oklahoma, is in line to make the college football playoff, then loses to Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game and plays itself out and the Big 12 out of the college football playoff. I think this conference is going to beat each other up. If I'm power ranking the conferences right now, I got the ACC dead last, horrible conference. Outside of Clemson, I'm not sure there's a quality team. I mean, seriously, Duke might be the second best team in the ACC. That's all you need to know. Virginia Tech, they lost to Old Dominion this week. It's a bad league. If Clemson loses a game, ACC shouldn't get a playoff team. It's that simple. Pac-12. I think it's a little better than it was last year. I was impressed with Oregon this week, even though they didn't get it done against Stanford. They did everything but win that game. Stanford, another team I'm pretty impressed with. I don't think either of those teams are playoff teams, but those are solid 9, 10, maybe 11-win teams in Stanford's case. Stanford, big opportunity at Notre Dame this weekend. We'll talk about that one a little bit more in the pick'em. Still got Washington doing good things out there. They had a challenge against Arizona State, but found a way to win that one 27-20. So I got the Pac-12 as my fourth-rated conference. Big 12 and Big 10, it's interchangeable, but I'll put the Big 12 third just because I think the Big 10 is a little better at the top with Ohio State. I think Michigan's playing better with Shea Patterson. I think he's improving. Their defense is good. You know, Wisconsin and Michigan State, those are still solid teams. Certainly the league is not as great as people thought on paper coming into the year, but I'll give them the slight edge over the Big 12. Then the SEC. I mean, the SEC is good. And I've never been, you know, I've always been annoyed at how much props the SEC has gotten, but let's be honest. In the West, Arkansas is really the only bad team. In the East, you got Georgia, South Carolina still solid. Kentucky's emerging. They just had a big win over Mississippi State. It's a good conference. It's the best one out there. And guess what? They got the best team. Probably the best two teams. Alabama and Georgia, for me, are the best two teams in the country right now. Ohio State's right there. Oklahoma's still in the mix. Clemson, obviously. By the way, Clemson naming Trevor Lawrence its starting quarterback. Kelly Bryant hasn't been at practice the past couple days. Rumors are he could be using that redshirt rule as well, just like Jalen McCleskey, the Oklahoma State receiver, if you didn't see that story. He's going to redshirt and play his senior season somewhere else. Could see Kelly Bryant do the same. All of a sudden, big-time profile players might be hitting the free agent market, if you will, and be out there available at the end of this season. We'll see what happens with Kelly Bryant. We know Jalen McCleskey's already gone. But again, I got the SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC is my Power 5 conference order from 1 to 5. SEC at the top, ACC at the bottom. Let's put a wrap on this podcast this week, a little shorter episode of the Four Verticals podcast. We make our week 5 picks. We bounce back with a 6-4 record last week. Can we go above 500 again this week? We pick them next here on the Four Verticals podcast. Wrapping things up here on the Four Verticals podcast, episode 10, almost in the books. We're going to finish things off like we always do. We pick them each and every week. 5 Big 12 games, 5 national games. Last week, we went 6-4, so now we're back up to 500. We're 20-20, 14-16 coming in, 6-4 week last week. Let's get above 500 this week. Let's start in the Big 12. Lots of sneaky good games this week. Number 12, West Virginia traveling to number 25. Yes, that's the 25th ranked Texas Tech Red Raiders. Who would have thought that after their opening week blowout to Ole Miss? Cliff Kingsbury has righted the ship there. Alan Bowman, the true freshman quarterback, he's really settled in, done some good things. Mountaineers coming in at 3.5-point favorites. 11 a.m. kick in Lubbock on ESPN2. I would guess it's going to be pretty windy out there. Don't forget, back in 2012, Geno Smith, Tavon Austin, and West Virginia rolled into Lubbock as pretty significant favorites. They were undefeated, and they got drilled at an 11 a.m. kick in Lubbock. Don't think it happens this time, but Texas Tech is playing better ball. I think West Virginia is going to find a way and cover that 3.5, but it would not shock me if the Red Raiders keep this thing close. I'll take West Virginia by 10. 37-27, West Virginia. Will Greer makes enough plays. David Sills has a couple of touchdowns. They move to 4-0 on the season to get rolling in Big 12 play. Also 11 a.m. kick. Oklahoma State, 18-point favorites at Kansas. The news from earlier this week, Cowboy receiver Jalen McCleskey, who's been one of their higher-rated receivers the past couple of years, over 1,200 yards his sophomore and junior campaign. This year as a senior, had 155 yards on 15 catches through four games. He's transferring with the new transfer rule that allows players to play four games in a season before choosing to redshirt. So he's going to redshirt, sit the rest of this year out, and transfer to someone to somewhere else. So that's a big blow to their offense. 18-point favorites in Lawrence. I got to think Oklahoma State's going to bounce back. Justice Hill has a huge day. I think they find a way to cover the 18 points. I think Taylor Cornelius will play a little bit better. Give me Oklahoma State 42-14 on the road against Kansas. Couple of 2:30 kicks. Let's start in Norman. Number 6 Oklahoma hosting Baylor. Sooners 23.5-point favorites in this one. Baylor bouncing back after the loss to Duke with the nice 26-7 win over Kansas. Oklahoma struggling, of course, with Army before getting rid of them 28-21 in overtime last week. No one saw it with it being on pay-per-view. Kyler Murray found a way to make enough plays late. I think they're going to get things back on track. 23.5 points. I think they cover that this week, and I think Murray has a huge game. Baylor might score some points. I just don't see how they're going to stop this offense. No way the Sooner offense struggles for 2 weeks in a row. Give me Oklahoma big. I like them 49-17 over Baylor. 2:30 kick. Texas. Can they do it for a third week in a row? The voters certainly think so. They've got them number 18 in the polls this week. 9-point favorites at Kansas State. K-State really struggling. They've turned back to Alex Delton. Bill Snyder announced earlier today he's going to be his quarterback this week. Texas 9-point favorites on the road in Manhattan. 2:30 kick on Fox Sports 1. Texas is 1-7 all-time in Manhattan. Haven't won there since 2002. Have lost 5 straight on the road against Kansas State. If Texas has really turned a corner here, and I'm not sure yet, I'm still holding out on that, but if they've really turned a corner, you got to beat this Kansas State team on the road. This might be one of the worst Kansas State teams Bill Snyder's had in a while. They've got serious offensive issues, only 6 points last week in Morgantown. I'm going to do it, Texas. I'm riding with you this week. I think you cover the 9. I think they're going to make a lot of plays on defense. Give me Texas 27-10 in Manhattan. 6 o'clock kick in Fort Worth. TCU lost 2 games in a row. Hasn't happened in a while under Gary Patterson since 2016. Iowa State coming into town. Horned Frogs 10.5-point favorites. Got to think they're going to bounce back. Sean Robinson's had a tough couple of weeks regarding turnovers. He's made some big-time plays, but he's made some inopportune ones in bad moments. I think he'll have a breakout game, keep the turnovers down. I think TCU rolls. They're remembering that game last year, too, where their undefeated season ended in Ames. I think Iowa State, they got to figure out who their quarterback is. Is it Zeb Noland? Are they going back to Kyle Kemp? We'll see what Kemp's health is. I think TCU bounces back. Give me the Horned Frogs, 34-17 over Iowa State. Some big-time national games this week regarding the college football playoff. Let's start in the Big Ten. Biggest game of the week. College Game Day is going to be there. 6:30 kick on ABC. Number 4 Ohio State at number 9 Penn State. If you remember 2 years ago, this was kind of James Franklin coming out party as Penn State's head coach. They blocked that kick against Ohio State and were able to pull the upset en route to winning the Big Ten. Ohio State, of course, has a win over TCU early on this year. Haven't really been tested otherwise. Urban Meyer, second game back. Buckeyes, 3.5-point favorites on the road in Happy Valley. There's going to be 110,000 there. It's a wideout game. I think Dwayne Haskins makes enough plays in this one. Penn State's been a little inconsistent. McSorley's been good. He's been not so good at times. I like their offense. Not sure I trust their defense enough. I think Ohio State has too many playmakers. Give me Ohio State 34-27. I think they find a way to go on the road, get a win, and cover the 3.5-point spread. Number 7 Stanford coming off that major comeback win against Oregon. They face number 8 Notre Dame, who's getting 5.5 points at home. Giving up 5.5 at home, I should say, which is surprising to me. Notre Dame hasn't been superly impressive since their win against Michigan in week 1. They've gone away from Brandon Wimbush. We'll see what the new quarterback does. Stanford, they're just solid, man. They don't beat themselves. Costello, the quarterback, steady. We all know about Bryce Love. I don't trust Notre Dame. I don't like the quarterback situation, whether it's the new guy getting the majority of the snaps, whether they go back to Brandon Wimbush. I think Stanford wins this game straight up on the road. Give me the Cardinal on the road. I think they make their presence known in the Pac-12. I think they get a big non-conference win against Notre Dame. Give me the Cardinal in this one. Sneaky good game in the SEC East. Who would have thought that South Carolina and Kentucky would have major ramifications? South Carolina's got to win this game to keep their SEC title hopes alive. They already lost to Georgia. Kentucky, number 17 in the country, coming off of a huge win over Mississippi State last week. 28-7, really surprising result. Probably the sneakiest, biggest result of the weekend that no one saw coming. Kentucky, 1-point favorites at home against South Carolina. Give me the Wildcats. I think they keep this thing going. I like what Mark Stoops is doing up there. They're playing strong defense. They can run the football. I think the Wildcats prove themselves as the biggest challenger to Georgia in the SEC East. They beat South Carolina at home on Saturday night. A couple more games. Number 20, BYU at number 11, Washington. BYU, one of the surprise teams in college football so far this season. We know about their upset win against Wisconsin. Number 11, Washington, their lone loss to Auburn. They've been pretty impressive since. Arizona State challenged them last week, but they were able to hold on. 17.5-point favorites, though. I really like BYU against the spread here. BYU plays good defense. They take care of the football. Tanner Mangum's a veteran quarterback. I think Washington's going to win, but 17.5? They just beat ASU by only 7. BYU has already beaten a similar stylistic team in Wisconsin from a physical standpoint, a team that likes to run the football. It wouldn't even shock me if BYU pulled another upset. I don't think they will, but they definitely are going to keep this within 17.5. I'll take Washington 24-16. I think it's a low-scoring slugfest. No way they cover the 17.5, though. Give me BYU to cover the spread. Last game, a little Pac-12 after dark, 9:30 kick on Fox Sports 1. Number 19, Oregon at number 24, California. If you could gain respect in a loss, Oregon did so on Saturday night. They did everything but win against Stanford. Had a chance to ice the game away, but they fumbled the football. Stanford forces overtime. Justin Herbert, most people are saying he's going to be the number one pick in the country, the quarterback for Oregon. Had a huge game against Stanford. I think they bounce back. Cal slipping into the polls at number 24. They're undefeated, but really haven't been tested yet. I think Oregon's has too much offense. I think they go into Cal. They cover that 2.5. I'll say they win 38-24. The Ducks bounce back and keep their Pac-12 title hopes alive. So that's it for Pick'em this week. A little rapid fire. I got West Virginia beating Texas Tech and covering the 3.5. Oklahoma State bounces back. They cover the 18 and beat Kansas. Oklahoma, they cover the 23.5. They're favorite over Baylor. I think they win at home big. Texas, I'll take them on the road. 9-point favorites over Kansas State. TCU bounces back. They beat Iowa State. They cover the 10.5. National games, I got Ohio State winning in Happy Valley and covering the 3.5. I got Stanford upsetting Notre Dame, if you can call it an upset. Irish getting 5.5. I think Stanford wins that one straight up. Kentucky keeps the thing rolling. They beat South Carolina at home. BYU loses, but they cover the 17.5 against Washington. And Oregon bounces back. They take care of Cal and cover the 2.5 points. That's going to wrap things up on this week's edition of the Four Verticals podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. Stay tuned next week. We'll be back with a little Week 5 recap. We'll be closer to the college football playoff committee's first polls coming out. I think that happens sometime in mid-late October. We'll get you updated on what's going on there, talk about all the big matchups, what's going on in the Big 12, and make our picks for Week 6. Also, as we wrap it up every single week, the same way we always do, you'll see it on Saturdays, you'll see it on Sundays in the NFL. When in doubt, always go deep.